What's going on, you guys? This is Stephanie Walsh, host of Side B, the podcast, and it is, well, you're going to hear this on April 5th. So another week has gone by, and there's still not a whole lot happening. Everyone's still stuck inside, living their lives, doing what we got to do. Olaf is staring at me. I'm pretty sure that he wants to go for a walk. But I just wanted to introduce the episode, so to speak, because I didn't really do that during the recording. This week, I have two of my dear friends, Paul Odo and Ryan Marco, joining me. And my intention when I invited them on the show a long time ago was to discuss, like, projects they have and things that they do. But now that we're in this time of the world being on pause, essentially, that's not so much what we talked about. But we still had a really fun conversation. They're really great people, and I hope you enjoy our talk. And, you know, when everything goes back to normal, Paul will start having shows again, Ryan will be acting again, and we can probably have them back on and talk some more. Some of you may know who Ryan is as the hot bartender. And Paul has a podcast called Scientology, and he has this one-man show that is absolutely brilliant, and it's called Elsa. And I've definitely talked about that before on the show as well. So these are people you've heard of if you are a listener to Side B. And now you finally get to hear them talk. So please enjoy, and I will just let you get right into it. I started the recording well before I was like, okay, it's time to actually do the show. So there's not a full, like, hi, welcome to Side B, and that's why I'm here to do this now. But I left in a little bit of the beginning because it was funny to me. So please enjoy, and I'll talk to you guys after this hour-ish of conversation with Ryan and Paul.
Like, they're giving us no useful information at all.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
So we're all hoping, fingers crossed, that June we can reopen, but I mean, who knows?
June just sounds so far away.
I mean, yeah. It is the beginning of fucking April, and then we got May, which is my birthday month, you know, which is important.
Sure.
It's a landmark.
I mean, yes, I just had a birthday sitting here doing nothing, so.
Hell yeah. We can just combine all of our birthday parties into one.
People are dying, you guys.
Uh-huh. But I didn't get to have a party.
My cake,
ice cream cake.
You know what? I considered ordering like one of those milk bar cakes, like we got you last year. But then I remembered how big it was, and I was like, I do not need that in my apartment.
So, but that cake is so good.
You know what? We should buy one for ourselves when we get out of this.
Yes, for our out of quarantine birthday parties.
The out of quarantine birthday party.
Yeah.
I gotta put my feet under these covers. Cold.
Okay, well, like, get comfortable because I'm gonna do the introduction thing, and then we can start talking.
Oh, we haven't been talking?
I mean, we are, but none of this is useful for the podcast.
This is all useful. Why don't we just talk about opinions and, like, make fun of the government and stuff?
Drugs,
alcohol.
Well, I think that you guys should probably introduce yourselves, because people who are listening know who I am. I'm Stephanie, and I host this podcast.
What's up? I'm Ryan. I'm a guest on this podcast.
This is officially recording part of the episode.
We'll work it out.
Great. My name is Paul. My last name is Odo. I'm a guest on the podcast. Happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you both on my computer screen. Hello, Ryan.
My name is Ryan Marco, a.k.a. the Hot Bartender. I am...
Real Ryan Marco?
Real Ryan Marco.
Real Ryan Marco, hot bartender. You need to make that the email address. RyanHotBartender @gmail.com. And give that out to people.
I'll get business cards made. That's what I'll pass out with my resumes, my acting resumes. Hey, so if you need to contact me, I'm HotBartender69@gmail.com.
69.
Yeah, Paul, I don't know if you're aware, but for the first, like, 3 days that I knew Ryan, that was how I referred to him.
Oh, okay.
As the hot bartender. And he literally, like, I remember the first day, he was like, I have a name, it's Ryan. And I was like, I don't care, I'm just going to call you hot bartender.
Is he not leaving?
But, so that, like, caught on, though, because when I first, for a long time when I went to Off the Wagon, I would, like, film the guys. Like, I used to film Dan dancing all the time. I have so much footage of Dan dancing. And, so, like, I snapped a picture of Ryan to people, and I was like, look, it's the hot bartender. And it caught on, and, like, one of my friends has him in her phone as hot bartender. So, and that's what we refer to him as when I've talked about him, like, on the radio show, and I guess now on the podcast.
Okay.
So, honestly, saying hot bartender, some listeners will go, oh, I know who that is.
Why not? Hey, hot bartender, is your background screen blurred?
That's like for
maybe, me. Yeah.
Yeah, weird. You look blurry. Like, you don't look blurry, blurry, behind you looks blurry.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't do that.
Huh. It's just funny.
Your camera, like, focuses.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Oh, I see I it can too,
blur
though.
My background.
Oh.
There you go.
There you go. Now we can see you, like, fixed it. That's
Yeah, no, fuck that. You guys can't look at my schedule. It's private notes up there.
Your schedule that has nothing on it right now?
Yeah, no, it's got the dates. That's important.
I just wrote on my calendar, like, the day that my groceries will be delivered. Like, that's how much I have going on. I was like, make sure to note
it's
that.
It's funny. I was telling Jordan, because we had, we went to Wagon, it was like 2 weeks ago, because they had a bunch of perishable food that was going to go bad, so they were just letting us take it home.
So you got wings?
And like, yeah, a bunch of wings, bunch of chicken, but it was just funny, because it was like, it was so exciting to have the prospect of just having something that we had to do on that day.
Right.
So like, it was like a thing, we're like, yeah, we get to go out and do something today. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's interesting. I actually have really been, but I've been liking the low-key-ness of this whole thing. I like the fact that we're all kind of slowed down.
That's because you move, like, nonstop.
Well, I just think that it's a good opportunity, you know, for people to have to kind of, like, okay, we literally don't have anything to do, right? So we have, the only thing that we really can do is be with ourselves. So we're kind of, like, you can avoid it as much as you can for the first maybe week or 2 weeks, even like 3 weeks to a month, but this is going to be going on for so long that eventually we're all just going to kind of have to sit in our shit. And I think a lot of growth is going to happen during this whole quarantine, to be honest with you, with a lot of people. There's not going to be much else to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you can only watch so many movies, listen to so many songs.
Right,
like,
I agree. I was saying, on last week's episode, I was saying how I feel like the entertainers are almost oversaturating their audience. Mm-hmm. With, like, the Instagram lives and, like, the, oh, we're going to go stream this and we're going to stream this. And, like, I'm kind of tired of it.
Yeah, well, that's why I started doing the paintings.
Yeah, dude, I love those, for the record.
Thanks. Yeah,
yeah, so, Paul, you have a podcast, which is, like, it sucks that I have you guys on now because you don't have anything to, like, promote, so to speak.
Well,
but I've wanted you guys on for a while, and just our schedules are all over the place.
Yeah.
So now we're doing this because, like Ryan said, what else is there to do?
Right.
But yeah, talk a little bit about, like, what you're about. I mean, I've mentioned your show on my show. I've talked about you. I've talked about going to see your performances and stuff, but you sell it.
Well, that's one of the, of all the skills that I have, selling me is one of the worst that I
can sell, Paul. I'll sell Paul.
Yeah, and then I'll sell Ryan.
There you go.
There's not much to sell for me, but I can sell Paul.
Well,
let's see. Paul is a realist comedian who brings actual genuine emotion and insight in his work and in his shows. That's very three-dimensional. That's my opinion. That's why I like his one-man show he's got going on right now. I love, because it has so much sustenance in it, and like, it's so many things that we all can be related to, and we all can relate to. But, like, at the same time, where it's serious and it has genuine moments, he also still knows when to throw in, like, that laugh. Like, he's, you know, he still has that comedy aspect of it, too. And that's why I love his show. You were there. You went with us for the show at Offside.
I've seen it twice.
You saw it, you went to the other one too.
Right,
I was
bummed. I missed that
one.
Night.
Yeah, I had to work. But yeah, so you've seen it. Like, it's amazing because it's so raw. Like, that's the one thing I know you or Paul were saying, a lot of people's feedback were they were saying how raw the show was and shit. And mm-hmm. it's the truth, you know, like you wear your heart on your sleeve during, and it's really impactful, in my
Thanks.
Opinion. Like, it's really good.
Thanks. I recorded the second one. If you did, I send it.
Yeah, you sent it to me. It was really good.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You gotta look at that.
I can't wait till you have those illustrations going in the background. That's gonna be fucking cool.
I was trying to figure out a way to make that happen at the LA show, and then it
sucks. That shit happened.
But that's okay. Well, thank you for that's nice of you to say, Ryan. Yeah. So I'm a comic, entertainer, performer, artist type person, and now I sell paintings. I draw and I paint and I.
He's a multifaceted artist.
Yeah, and then Ryan and I met each other bartending at. Are you mentioning the name of the bar on your podcast?
I said it. I don't have to if you guys don't want me to.
It doesn't matter to me.
I don't know if I usually do. I think I just say the bar.
But. He said it. Off the wagon.
He and I met each other bartending there, and worked late nights on Sundays. And
oh, those were the days.
Yeah, got to know each other better there. And Ryan is a very deep, compassionate, artistically minded person, and besides just being the hot bartender,
there's more than just a pretty face.
Yeah. No, I've talked to many people who know, like, both of us, and who didn't really know Ryan very well, and I've sung Ryan's praises many times, being like, no, he's a very nice person on, you know, just on the surface. And then once you get to know him, he's like just a super, like, genuine, compassionate, like,
I appreciate
real, real person, and a person I consider a good friend.
I think that's why we connected so much, though, because it's, I mean, same with you, Steph. You know, mm-hmm. it's easy to connect when you're someone isn't just putting up a front of who they think that they.
Oh yeah,
I mean, which a lot of people do.
You
know,
definitely account for the fact that I am what you get. Like, what you see is what I don't have any pretenses.
Well, who's got the time?
I know.
I mean, a lot of people. I remember, like, I've brought people to the bar who, like, think that Ryan's gonna have some kind of front. Like, I've seen them be like, oh, but I don't think that I can talk to him. And I'm like, are you kidding? Just give it a shot. Just go say hi. Like,
yeah.
The least intimidating person.
I mean, I think we all collectively have had our share of heart-to-hearts, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. You can't really say about a lot of people.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that I would have ever thought that I found, like, or would have found genuinely, like, good friends at a dive bar.
Hey.
Listen, Off the Wagon is a special place, but
he does, baby.
I was never that person. Like, I was never a bar fly or whatever. I used to go to a lot of, like, live local shows or, like, comedy shows. I was a show person. So, like, music venues are where I would spend hours on end. And I never thought that I could be the kind of person that could sit at a bar for a whole day.
You know, what's interesting about that, though, like, in terms of how you're saying you're more of a show person, Paul, you might feel this way. I don't know if it's, you know, same for you. But for me, I feel like a lot of the time when I am working, I am kind of putting on a show.
Oh, with that,
we are putting on a show.
I have compared the bartenders at the Wagon to, like, the quote-unquote, like, rock star musician types often.
Oh, yeah.
Because I also find, in a similar way that, like, bands have groupies or wannabe groupies who just, like, oh, he's in the band, I'm watching him, and he's it for the night. How often do you see that happen at the bar with a bartender? I mean, most, not to throw them under the bus, but my friends don't really listen to my show anyway. Almost every girl I've brought into that bar has tried to get with somebody who works at that bar.
Mm-hmm.
Most every single person. And I've said that there's almost, I wouldn't necessarily say, like, oh, you're a rock star behind the bar or whatever, but, like, It's like a power thing. You're the person who's in charge of the bar. Like, you're the one making the decisions. You're the one pointing at the crowd going, okay, I'm going to pay attention to you. Right. And it, like, suddenly makes you more attractive or more desirable to some of these people. It's
weird. Well, weird. You're on stage.
Right.
It's a performance, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I would never be that extroverted, typically. Like, yeah, when you're I'm not. Just, no, just, like, hanging out with people. It's not my... I save my performance energy for being in a position of performing, performing.
Which is why a lot of the time people who work in like the nightlife service industry or whatever don't like going out when they have their downtime.
Yeah, no, I can preach to that. My going out is my going to work.
Right.
Right.
That's my going out.
That was kind of why I tried to step away from doing bartending and service industry stuff. To like save that energy for performing on stage, I finally was able to find like a balance where I could enjoy it and not really, it didn't drain me. That bar off the wagon was one of the first ones I worked at that was like more of a thing that gave me energy as opposed to took it away from me. I mean, it's hangovers notwithstanding, like it definitely wore on you in that sense, but like it was a happy place to be, and it is a happy place to be. It's a lot of positive people, you know, for the most part, and so that's a good thing. It's not a place where people don't want to be working.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you can tell that everyone pretty much gets along there. I mean, again, I'm also, because I'm not the kind of person who just goes and sits in bars, I don't have a lot of outside experience. Like, I came to Off the Wagon, I found, immediately clicked with certain people who worked there, just stayed going there, and continued to meet everyone as they kind of came.
Yeah.
And everyone's always kind of had a similar vibe. I think I remember a few months ago they were hiring, and one of the girls who works there was talking about someone who had, like, applied, and she was like, that person isn't gonna work here. Like, it's not gonna work. They don't have this, like, energy.
Yeah, it's a specific vibe that we have there. I give Howie and Zach a lot of credit in terms of how they hire people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know people that when people don't work out, like...
Yeah, and they usually don't last very long.
Right, you, like, exactly. Like, it's been, like, there's, like, a high turnaround if you don't, like, fit in, so to speak.
Yeah, you're either there for, like, a really long time or you're there for a very short period of time. There's no real middle ground.
I agree with that. And I don't know if that's, like, every bar. I don't know if every bar has such a cool, like, vibe, energy, whatever.
Not a lot of places cultivate it that way.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a smart thing that company of bars does, where they put an emphasis on the personality of the people that work there. It's cool, because it's what people go to bars for.
Right.
They go to be a part of like a circle of friends and community, and they know that that's like the core of it, right? And then also they add like good prices and shit like that to it,
right?
But it's definitely,
because people like ask me all the time why I don't find like a local spot like over here. Like, I'm in Astoria. I know, Paul, you're in Astoria, but we're in like totally opposite areas of Astoria,
right?
And people ask me why I don't like try to find something over here, and I'm like, it's not about getting drinks. Like, you can get that anywhere. I go to spend time like with my friends, and also like I'm not spending a lot of money.
Well, it's interesting, actually. This is the first bar I've worked at where people you would consider to be like a regular, you know, for that terminology, have actually like become friends. Like, people I go to concerts with, I go out to eat with, I like spend time Broadway with shows outside of the bar. It's like, it's interesting. It's like a little family there, that whole little corner and the whole, like, all my regulars there, I consider to actually be friends. Like, I'll actually hang out with them. I never had that at the other bars. It's an interesting sort of situation. It's fun.
Well, it's smart. It's business smart.
Yeah.
Just
well, and you can tell, I mean, I don't necessarily want this to become like a telethon or anything, but they set up that GoFundMe to raise money while you guys are out of work. And like, the the statement that was posted on Instagram was like, if you've ever been to one of our establishments, you know, like, what a family we all are. Well, and, you know, look out for these guys while this is happening or whatever. And, yeah. I mean, I agree. I had, what's that, Paul?
I was curious how much of that money you guys are individually going to see.
So I think they're just going to divide it. Yeah.
I did some math. They're trying to raise 50 grand, but there's 8 bars, which means that if they just divide that by 8, each bar is going to get a little over $6,000.
Right.
And of that, it gets divided amongst the staff, but, like, is that including the partners at the bar? Is that just...
I would hope not.
Yeah, I don't know. The deets...
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, but either way, if they make the 50,000, you guys are, after the GoFundMe fee, you guys are going to get a few hundred bucks each. It's not like crazy amount
anything
of money.
Anything is, but anything no, is but helpful yeah, right now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anything. And they're doing it smart by saying like over $40 gets a happy hour, which.
Yeah, we're going to have to be throwing a lot of happy, crazy ass happy
but
hours.
But those are also write-offs, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I know Anyway. I mean, that's when I was texting you, Ryan, about it. I had a free I had a $20 unlimited happy hour done in my name when my mother passed away.
Oh,
and that was,
I remember.
Yeah, you were there. Yeah. And that was, you know, I didn't set that up. That was set up on my behalf. And it was an hour of time that everybody that paid $20 probably got like maybe 3 drinks at the most.
Yeah.
And that's a write-off. Yeah. Like, it's not a big deal.
Not to aggressively change the subject too much, but, like, are we relating this to Disney somehow?
Do we want to?
Is that what this is?
Oh,
what
no. I'm sorry. You know, I have 3 podcasts now, Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know what the topics were we were talking.
No,
what is the premise of this podcast, just
so
in general?
Side B, the podcast, is what became of... I used to have a live radio show that I did once a week. Usually it was Wednesday night that I started at college. And then once I was no longer attending that college, a friend of mine from the college radio station referred me to someone who has an internet radio station. And so I was doing my show on this station. And I just, it was like alternative music and then some, because I found a fan base that didn't listen to alternative music through knowing somebody who was on Glee. So his fan base started listening to me and didn't care about any of the music I played. So I had to try to mix it up a little bit. But
okay.
I converted it to a podcast when I realized that people don't stop what they're doing to listen to internet radio most of the time. So, and also, like, you know, I lost my mother. I stopped feeling much like getting live on the air for 2 hours once a week when all that stuff happened. But I converted this to a podcast in, like, May. And now I've slowly started to make it into, like, conversations just with creative people.
So it's just hanging out talking.
Yeah, well, when it's like, when I originally asked you onto the show, I wanted to talk about, like, your process, your writing, and we can totally do this, or we can wait till you have, like, something to promote and I can have you back on. But, yeah, for right now, it's pretty much talking. We don't have to keep talking about the bar, though. There are other things in the world.
No, I only was asking because I didn't know that we were trying to come back to the of what it was.
What Disney topics would you discuss with me, Paul?
The MCU, that's all I got.
I don't have many. I don't even have Disney Plus.
You gotta get that shit, bro.
No, I don't have a TV. I have my computer set up. I was on the fence about buying a TV for the longest time, and then the pandemic happened, and it was just like, well, I guess I should have done it. So, no, I was just saying it'd be a good thing to have, but it'd also be another distraction. Like, I can watch things on my computer and my iPad and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got plenty of stuff to do. That's the weird thing about this whole lockdown, quarantine, self-isolation thing or whatever it is, I mean, aside from the money, just trying to figure out how to, like, get finances coming in.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled to do this.
I had seen that, you know, you posted when you started doing the paintings again, how you kind of forgot how much you loved painting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, like, you know, based on your mindset of this whole situation, a lot of good can actually come out of this quarantine as long as you use the time the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. I really feel like it's just about, I think, in my opinion, this whole deal is about, like, establishing some routines, not succumbing to, like, the malaise of the idea.
I finished The War of Art. Sorry, you just reminded me.
Oh, cool. That's a good thing.
Incredible. Incredible book.
I had recommended this book to Ryan a while back called The War of Art, which was recommended to me. It was it's a great book about, like, creative process and things like that.
It's really, it helped me, you know, because on top of the sort of self-awareness I've gained through therapy and shit like that, that book actually offered a really cool other, like, new perspective of looking at things where it was talking about the resistance.
Mm-hmm. And just pause you for 1 second? I do want to just say that before we get into this, we should make it known that Ryan is a very dedicated and serious actor. And that is important for your, like, audience to understand. Yes. He's taught me a lot about acting and the process of acting and the discipline of acting, like, just through conversation and knowing him more. And anyway, I just wanted to make sure that that's...
Yeah, well, that was another, like, when I first invited both of you, Ryan, you take so many classes and, like, you study different characters and monologues.
I study the
mind. That was the kind of stuff I wanted to talk to you about. And then you were like, we should grab Paul, too. And I was like, yeah, I totally want to get Paul. And
right. But I didn't want to derail what you were thinking, because I think the point you were making relates to your process, but
have you ever read The Artist's Way, Paul?
I've gotten halfway through it 3 times.
Have you heard of these books, Steph?
No.
So the sort of common thread and I gather from both of these books is essentially that the belief that all humans, we're all meant to be creative. It's just that it gets stuffed down through time, through society and stuff. And really, these books are just kind of encouraging you to get back in touch with that creative side. The Artist's Way is more of kind of like it provides you with activities and methods and exercises you can do to get back in touch with it. Whereas The War of Art kind of emphasizes the belief that we all have that creative ability within us. And it just sort of talks about why you may not be pursuing those certain things. The book refers to it... this is really good. Anybody who listens to this and Steph, I think you would just enjoy reading it in general because you're a creative person. They talk about resistance and how it can it can show up in so many different forms. And I can't really explain it as well as the author did in the book. So I guess I'll kind of end it there. I'll just kind of give like what the book is about. But it's a great, like, it really helped me change a lot of my perspective on, you know, when I'm sitting here kind of not doing things, the fact that I could be. You can always be doing something to kind of further yourself creatively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even whatever field, you know, it is that you are passionate about.
Stephen Pressfield is the guy's name.
Yes, Stephen Pressfield. And, but it's just, it's just really interesting to me. It was a really good read. I finished it in, like, it's not a long read either. Mm-hmm. I finished it in I could have finished it in a day, but I ended up getting sidetracked, but it's maximum 2-day read. And it really just helps you bring a certain sense of self-awareness about a lot of shit. That has really, it's only been like a week since I've read it, and it's already helped me in a lot of ways. I get where you're coming from when you kind of were talking about how your, you know, your exercise routine and stuff like that, you kind of developed that after reading that book. I completely understand where that comes from now, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what, because you were, before you were talking about routine, and that's kind of what sparked.
Yeah.
Thought process, yeah.
It is about, at least that's a big thing I took from it, and I just read his follow-up book to that called Turning Pro. And it delves deeper into that whole concept, but there's a lot of stuff about, cause I don't think that everybody is wired to be a creative type of person. I think that
there's like two kinds of people. Like when it comes down to it, there's like the analytical, like mathematic types almost, if that makes sense.
Or one half of the brain, whatever it is. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it says, like, left-handed people have, like, the right side, which is the creative side. I don't know how all that works.
Right.
That's kind of me, too. I don't know that I could ever, like, act on a stage. I would love to do voice work. Like, voicing a cartoon character would be the most amazing thing for me. Yeah. But, like, acting, like, on a stage or even, like, on film, I've always been, like, a behind-the-camera kind of person.
Yeah, it's a strange thing that people feel like there's only certain, like, ways that you can apply creativity that are somehow, like, legitimized by different people. And it's not, right. There's so many different ways. There's so many different things that you can do. And also, like, I've talked to so many people about, like, after doing shows or whatever, and people will tell me, they're like, oh, I wish I could draw, or I wish I could act, or I wish I could do stand-up, or whatever it is, or play an instrument, or whatever. And I always say, it's like, if you don't have that, that's not any kind of slight against who you are. And if you want to try to be more involved in it, you should just go to shows or support artists or go to, you know, like buy music, buy art, be a person who facilitates it. And that's a big part of the ecosystem.
See, that's where I come in too, because I cannot read music. I can't play music. Mm-hmm. I guess I have somewhat of an okay singing voice. If I'm like, almost imitating. Like, if I'm singing with a group, I'm more on pitch than if I were, like, to start singing by myself. Yeah. So I have an ear for it, too. And I've always been able to, like, I can recognize a band by their sound within, like, 2 seconds of a song being on.
Yeah.
If I've never heard it before, I'm like, that sounds like this. And then it turns out that I'm right. And so I have that. I have some kind of musical something in me, but I can't, like, share it. That makes sense. But and like with like painting and stuff, I'm certainly not like on your level.
I feel like not a lot of people are on Paul's level.
Right.
It's like it's a matter of whatever you decide to be obsessed about. It's like I didn't start being able to paint this way. I just really obsessed about it and failed so many times over and over and over again that I incrementally got better at what I do. It's just like anybody who does anything with a high degree of skill.
Practice makes perfect. It's the same, I mean, with anything really, podcasting, bartending, it's all an art in its own way.
And feel like it's whatever you're more tilted to do, whatever is drawing you towards it.
Yeah.
If you can cultivate more of that and just like give yourself more opportunities, more times at bat, more whatever it might be, then you get better because you want to get better.
Right.
But it's very like I always thought it would be fun to play the guitar until I understood what went into learning to play the guitar.
Interesting.
Once I picked one up and I was like, "Oh, this seems cool." And then the guy who was trying to teach me is like, "Yeah, what you really got to do is build up this callus on your finger." Right. And sometimes it'll get real hard and you got to like stab it with a needle and let the blood drain out. And it's like, yeah, well, fuck that. I'm not interested. I'll just listen to music.
Right. Well, that was, I always thought it would be cool to be a drummer. And I actually, when I was like 16, my dad's fraternity brother's son gave me a drum kit. And I had this drum kit and I was very excited that I had it. And I would sit behind it. And I'd like kind of be like, boom, boom, you know, like. I never learned anything. And then once I, like, figured out how complex drumming was, I was like, yeah, I can't do that at all. So.
Yeah. It's got to be a thing that, like, activates something in you to where you look at it and you're like, I don't care what it takes.
Yeah.
That's the reason I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I really enjoy it. And then also, like, the responsibility that gets heaped upon you by doing it is part of what makes you feel proud for accomplishing more of it. You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think that, like, I've kind of found a niche for myself with, like, with the podcasting. I mean, I wanted to be in radio since I was, like, 10. When kids are starting to be like, I want to be a teacher, I want to be a doctor, or all that, I would listen to, like, the morning shows, like, on the drive to school and stuff, and I'd be like, I want to do that. I want to be that guy. I want... And...
That's awesome. That's how you know.
I've been told so many times that, like, I'm a good interviewer.
Yeah.
And that, like, I always comes off more conversational than, like, a Q&A. And I've, you know, that I can, like, put people at ease quickly and stuff. And I guess that kind of goes back into, like, even, like, hanging out in the bar and stuff. I remember that there used to be nights where, like, people would come in, like, by themselves. And whoever was working would be like, oh, come sit over here. This is Steph. She'll talk to you.
Yeah.
And then the person would stay all night, random strangers that I hadn't met, because that's just, I have the gift of conversation, I guess.
That's something not a lot of people have.
Yeah.
Nope.
But I also, like, we've talked about, like, producing or promoting. I'm very good at these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Like, hyping people. But I don't know how to turn this into an actual profession, so.
I think you just keep chiseling away.
Sounds like a managerial type of position.
Yeah.
Like
Well, I was told once by an agent, like a Hollywood agent, that I would be good at her job. And she was like, however, it's not available. And I was like, I'm not trying to take your job. Like, relax.
Okay.
But yeah, she got like super defensive because I was working with a group of people who she was the agent for. And I was helping, like I was promoting online and stuff like that. They were doing Kickstarters and I was helping raise the money. And like, I was very good at promoting them. And I said to her, I was like, is there a position for me here? Like, is this something that I can parlay into a job? And she said like, well, you would be good at my job, but it's my job. So no. I was like, cool. Pretty much.
So still a thought process you could sit on for a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would love to be able to like do something with the podcasting for real. Paul and I, we had a conversation. I want to kind of, I don't know how hard it is, but a podcast network and start from there. Because I know like podcast networks pretty much just get a bunch of shows that have something in common, either like that the people know each other or whatever, but they promote each other, like cross promoting, and then I don't know.
Yeah, I think that a lot of that starts off with just getting one going at a high rate, and then you kind of start like promoting the other ones from within that one.
Right.
And then you can have guests on from the other ones, and it's sort of like it's like starting a little fire, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really the beauty of the podcasting medium is that you're really only attracting the specific people that you want.
Mm-hmm.
That want to listen to what you have to say. Like that was my podcast that I do.
Scientology.
Thank you, hype man. it's just me talking to myself, as you both know, for like a length of time. And I have always been super like surprised to hear that people enjoy it. But the people that do enjoy it, they like specifically the things that I'm trying to make likable. And so it's not like I'm trying to reach like a gigantic audience. I'm trying to reach the specific people. And then those people know somebody in their life who kind of feels the same little inside joke connections, and they'll recommend it. And it's just like this little network that builds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun.
You
grinding your teeth.
How many people
do you have that
give you feedback are people that you don't actually know?
Just be aware.
Like, do you get that? Or is it an extended circle of people that you pretty much know?
No, I'd say it's, I don't know what the ratio is, but it definitely happens. Like there's a certain amount of people that I correspond with about the stuff that I do that I've never met in person. And I wouldn't know. Like, I've actually met some people through the stuff that I do that I've run into someplace and they're like, hey, I listened to your thing or whatever. It's like, really? It's like, yeah, we've talked over Instagram a couple of times. It's like, oh, that's cool.
I recommended you to my masseuse last time I had a massage.
That's nice.
It was actually the weirdest massage I've ever had because massages are supposed to be like quiet and relaxing.
Love
and
a
this
weird
guy
massage.
Talked to me the entire time.
Yeah.
And I think that was, I got a hot stone massage, so I was like trying to like super relax.
Get it.
And
Sure.
He was just talking. And we were talking about everything, including podcasts. And then I said to him, I was like, you know what? I think you brought up Parks and Rec. And I've told you that I think
Love
that
Parks
if Ron was a late 30s, early 40s New Yorker,
it would be Paul. Oh, that would definitely
be
Paul.
My opinion of like what your podcast is. If Ron Swanson lived in New York and was a couple years younger.
I told you that I know one of my buddies wrote for that show. from the beginning.
Yes, and I'm convinced that that guy based Ron on you.
Maybe so. So whenever anybody asks, they're like, has anybody ever compared you to Ron Swanson? I was like, well, I just tell people that
I am they
were reminded of me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's a funny thing. Well, that's nice
of you. Yeah, so I told him, and like, he asked me to like leave the name of your podcast on like my little tip card, you know, because like once you go out and cash out or whatever, you leave them a little envelope. So I was like, I added it to my credit card, so I didn't need an envelope, but I was like, can you give this to him? And the guy was like, what are you, because I actually put it on the back of my card, because that's what I had on me. So I was like, I wrote down your information, and then I was like, here, can you give this to the guy?
Nice. Well, that's what you hope happens.
Yeah.
You like doing what you do. What are there any podcasts that you guys like to listen to particularly? Are you, Ryan, are you much into
it? I listen to so many.
What?
Do you listen to many podcasts?
I listen to your podcast.
Well, which one?
Joe Rogan's?
No, no. Did you say you just listened to the one of his, or you used to
listen? I would just listen to some sporadic ones that he would do, depending on the topic.
Yeah.
I had downloaded the podcast app. I was really going to try to get into it a while back, and I just never really clicked for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a really good one that I've been a fan of, Hardcore History. If you ever are interested in that, because I've never really been much of a history fan.
I think you told me about that, but I haven't listened to it yet. I'm going to write it down right now.
Yeah, Hardcore History by this guy named Dan Carlin. And he just, he's like one of these great teachers that you had that changed your life kind of people, you know? But he's so passionate about telling the stories throughout the podcast that it makes it very riveting and interesting. And then he has another one that's all about like contemporary like things in the news, and it's called Common Sense. And he hasn't done an update on that one in like 2 years, but he just did one about 3 days ago.
Nice.
And, because of everything being as crazy as it is. But he's got a real nice middle of the road perspective about stuff. And the way he like gives credit to both sides and dogs on both sides, but finds some common theme that brings people together. But that's a good one. Common Sense and also Hardcore History are both great. Malcolm Gladwell has a really good podcast. I don't know if you guys like his books at all. The like Outliers and he's the guy credited with the thing. You got to put 10,000 hours into doing something to be
Yeah,
that was in that book, The Outliers, I believe. And that was
it's like a little taste.
Yeah. He's got
a little more, and then.
What are some of the other podcasts you listen to?
I listen to so many. So,
what are your favorite three? Aside from, you don't have to. You've already said nice things about me, but.
I always make sure, like when you say I've uploaded my podcast, the thing is, for me, I started getting into podcasts when I was working, like in an office, you know, setting. Because we could listen to music, and I was going through a lot of, like, shit where everything, like, musical that I was listening to was just making me cry.
Uh-huh.
It was, like, during the, you know, I lost my mom, and my antidepressant medication, all that shit that I went through almost 2 years ago. I literally, like, any song, it didn't even matter what song it was. It could be, like, Happy by Pharrell, and I'd be like, I'm not happy, and, like, start crying. So music was just not working for me, but I am one of those people that needs to have something happening while I'm working, like in my ears. I can't focus. There are people who are the total opposite who need like complete silence when they're working, but I am not that person.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Podcasts are a thing. Let me start listening to some podcasts.
Yeah.
And That's Why We Drink is probably my favorite podcast. It is half paranormal, half true crime.
That's Why We Drink.
So, and That's Why We Drink.
Oh, so, and That's Why We Drink.
Yeah. So it's two people. One of them is a non-binary they/them person, and the other is a girl. They live in LA. They took classes together in college. Like, they weren't friends, but they just took classes together. But they discovered that they both have like this true crime paranormal like passion. So they started this podcast together, and now they're like the best of friends. But so M tells their story, which is ghosts or UFOs or, you know, Bigfoot, that kind of stuff. And then the second half of the show, Christine tells about some horrific murder that happened somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like they put like a little bit of a comedic spin on it, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, and they say like, okay, why are you drinking this week? And they used to, they don't so much anymore. Because they're actually insanely popular. Like, they were, I was supposed to go see their tour last Friday. Mm-hmm. And obviously it got postponed. I saw them last year and they told, like, M told about the haunted theaters on Broadway because they were in New York. So they, you know, made it like a hometown kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I guess you can tell that I have a thing for paranormal because everything they were saying, I already knew. When they were like, okay, I'm going to start with the New Amsterdam. And I was like, I know those ghosts. And then they were like, I'm going to go with the Belasco. I was like, I know that ghost. I was like, I already know this story. But it's really entertaining. Yeah, they're fun. So kind of a branch off of that, Christine has another podcast with her brother that I've told you about called Beach Too Sandy, Water Too Wet, where they read one-star Yelp reviews.
Oh, fun.
Of a variety of topics. So that's always very entertaining.
Yeah, that's great. There's so many. It's nice because it's like they're free, and there's
something for everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. And we can't all be watching Tiger King.
Really? Okay, have either of you actually watched Tiger King?
Have you?
I have not, and I don't refuse, but I just have interest.
It's good.
It sounds like something that's right up your alley, though, because you've always made me laugh. Before you and I were, like, close, I would see, like, your stuff on Instagram about, like, oh, these big cats and, like, people who play with, like, wild animals. And I would just crack up.
Fucking psychopaths? Yeah. Yeah. Like, you've never been injured before in your life by anything? You think that thing's not going to kill you at some point? Yeah. And it's all those people, and it's everything that you want. It's great. It's great. I used to make this comparison about, like, Jersey Shore. Like, I don't like reality TV.
I'm not a
And then I watched TV Jersey TV. Shore. I was like, oh, this is the best one. Because it's the worst.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, when you watch the Jersey Shore, you're like, oh, this is fantastic garbage. It's, like, the best piece of shit. Like, if you saw somebody take the best shit ever, you'd be like, I like watching people take shits. But this is really good somehow. Like, you've done it in this artful way. It's the same kind of thing with Tiger King. It's like a beautiful catastrophe. It's really worth watching in that sense. If you just it would be very hard to write a better show.
Yeah, somebody was like, you should watch it just to feel better about yourself. And I'm like, I'm not feeling too bad about myself right now, though. So
it's total voyeurism in that way. Like, you're just watch it. It's like a freak show. It's like a circus freak show that's just turned into like a Netflix series.
I don't know if that's my thing. Like, I know that that's a lot of people's thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's funny because I watched The Circle on Netflix with the recommendation of one of our friends. They were like, you'll love this. You need to watch this. And I did enjoy it. It was very interesting. But I'm not a reality show person. But because I was unemployed, when The Bachelor started this season, I watched the entire season of The Bachelor for the first and probably only time ever. Mm. But they did make me feel better about myself. I mean,
The Bachelor is the craziest thing to me in the world. The Bachelor to me is crazier than
37. I am forever single. Like, I have zero love life to speak of. But watching these women on, like, episode 2, crying and being like, I'm so in love with him. And, like, they're still competing with, like, 30 other people and they've maybe spent 5 minutes with him. I'm like, okay, I'm good. Like, I don't even need to.
The popularity of The Bachelor, to me, runs counter to every single thing that anybody tries to talk about being social progress or anything good. Like, anytime anybody's like, you know, well, you women need equal pay. Or we should treat people better. It's like, have you seen The Bachelor? This is like publicized harem whores, like, just trying to, like, beg for the attention of a, just one, it's just the weirdest regressive concept in my mind that people have no issue with. They're not even close to being like, this is pathetic and sad and fucked up. I watched a couple episodes of it with my ex-girlfriend, and I remember I was watching, I was like, this is despicable. And then I saw some girl was showing her whole family this bachelor guy, and the dad refused to be a part of it. And I was like, thank God somebody's got a fucking backbone.
That's
somebody.
So, like, there's like the episodes where they, like, go to meet the girl's parents, and he goes and meets everybody's parents. And most of the time, the fathers are like, well, what are you intending? Well, are you going to pick her? Are you in love with her? Like, and it's like, this is a lot. But I also watched...
Like, this should be offering, like, 100 goats or something.
So I watched this, like I said, for the first time. I have no basis for comparison, nothing. There was one girl who was... She was hot. Like, that's all you can really say about her. She was very, very pretty. Thin, small, petite, long, dark hair, you know, hot.
Mm-hmm.
Batshit crazy.
Yeah.
They look for that kind of
people. But every episode, like, that they were showing the two of them, like, on their private alone time dates or whatever, he'd be like, are you feeling this too? I need you to open up to me. And she'd be like, why are you pressuring me? And, like, just start a fight every time. But every rose ceremony, he kept her. And then there's a week where it's, like, fantasy suites or whatever. Which is basically, like, he gets to have sex with all of them. Like, one at a time. It's like, it's your turn, it's your turn, it's your turn.
I've seen that porno.
So he kept her. Well, they don't, like, show anything, but you know that that's what's happening.
I'm out again.
But he kept her through that week, and you could tell, like, he was like, I just gotta get it in, and then she's done. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, one of my friends, he's a comic. He has one of my favorite jokes. He doesn't really do stand-up anymore, but he used to say, like, I wish they would do, like, a polygamy bachelor episode.
God.
Like a polygamous bachelor? It's like, it'd just
that's
be one
episode.
That's
essentially what it is, though.
It'd just be one episode.
He'd just walk out and be like, looks good, I'll take him.
Yeah. But that's, like, that's kind of what it feels like the entire season is. Especially in the beginning, because in the beginning, since none of them know how far along they're going to go, they, like, compare. Well, what did he do with you on your date? Oh, he told me that, too. Or, and it's like, that's weird, because that's supposed to be the guy you're fighting for. Don't compare notes with the enemy. Like,
yeah, I was doing one of these dating apps, Hinge or something, and some girl I was kind of looking like we had a couple of things in common with. And then I was reading down on her bio, and she was saying something about how she wanted to be on The Bachelor. And I could not swipe harder. I almost threw my phone against the wall. I swiped so hard away. Like, we don't have anything to say to each other. I'm probably going to have to bounce here in a minute. I gotta get back to painting. But
gotcha.
Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I was just going to say that part of me wants to watch The Bachelorette to compare now, because I see, like, what the women do, and I feel like I kind of want to see what the men do, like, in the house when they're not on the date, because I can't imagine they're as dramatic as the women are.
All the guys
probably are.
I would think so, right?
So too, yeah. It's reality TV. It's all halfway scripted anyway.
Totally. And when you get that many people who are that weird together, you know, because you've already filtered out all the people who would not do that.
Yeah.
So
you're just giving people that would.
You got to keep in mind that a lot of those people are just trying to get their 5 seconds in the limelight, too.
Right. And that's...
Yeah,
that's
well, and that's what this entire season pretty much was like. The girls were all, like, calling each other out, being like, you're only here for Instagram! And like, what?
Well, that's all anyone is for those things anymore. Yeah. Like, has there actually ever been a successful marriage out of one of those shows?
I have no idea. I am so, like, against reality TV as a...
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think there have been successful relationships?
I think there might be, like, one or two couples.
I feel like they all get killed afterwards or something, for as much as I thought of it.
Well, this season, he didn't end up with anybody. This season was awful. Complete trash. But I just, in general, reality TV... One of my professors in college was on one of those wife swap shows, not as like a contestant. He was brought in to tutor the kid. Like that was like his role, but he was telling us about like, he was a great teacher, but he was saying how like they would just make him shoot the same conversation again and be like, okay, we'll do it this way. And just how fake it all was. He was like, I didn't even know what I was doing. I have no idea if that kid learned anything because they just wanted to shoot my scene. And
yeah, that whole thing about reality TV, it seemed, it came around during like the writer's strike, one of the first writer's strikes. That's how it kind of got started. It was because they couldn't pay any writers and they still needed to make TV. So they just basically hired editors to be writers. So they hired a bunch of people, put them on this reality show, and then we'll just do the writing through the editing. And then it caught on. And it was they took the real world format and then just like threw gasoline on it.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, I watched The Real World and I liked The Real World and I liked Road Rules.
Yeah.
But like, that was because I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's, I don't understand how like, because reality TV is like one of the most popular forms of television. That's why they keep making all these different ridiculous shows.
Yeah. Speaking of which, how about how fucked up is that all those Big Brother people are in that house?
Oh,
and
Jesus.
They
didn't even know.
Yeah.
That's so weird. That seems like ethically truly fucked up.
Yeah. It kind of is. Yeah, I remember somebody was on, I think it might have been David Bowie's first wife was on one of those like Big Brother celebrity or something when he died. So like they pulled her aside to tell her, like, you know, off camera, whatever, they pulled her out and was like, and I think there was a guy named David on the show. So after they told Angie Bowie that David Bowie was dead, she was like crying, like, you know, obviously visibly inconsolable, whatever. And one of the other girls comes over and is like, what's wrong? And she's, David's gone. David's gone. And they thought that she meant someone in the house.
Oh, shit.
So they were like, what?
David died? It's like, no, I'm right here. It's like, nobody did. You, David. We're talking about real David Bowie. Yeah.
I just, because it was a big thing, because she was like, you know, in the house, so she didn't know, but obviously she needed to know or whatever.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's a real big deal.
I don't know. Is there any reality show either of you would ever go on?
No.
I don't think so.
It's a flat out no.
Yeah. I don't think so. Maybe, like, if there's some kind of, I don't know if you call it a reality TV, but there's, like, a show on HGTV where they build tree houses.
Ooh. And that seems.
Ooh, all right, that's a lie. I'll go on the Great British Baking Show.
What about the cooking shows?
Great British Baking Show, because everyone's just so goddamn nice. Like, oh, you fucked up your cake? Hey, you tried.
It's cool, man. What about, like, Nailed It? Do either of you ever watch Nailed It? I know they just put a new season up.
No.
I know that.
I'm too obsessed with Great British Baking Show.
Nailed It is the one that, like, brings total amateurs who don't know anything and make them cook.
Nice.
And
I was just watching the one. There's a series with Jon Favreau.
Okay.
Yeah,
that cooking series. It's actually really good. He just goes and cooks.
Is that called Chef's Table or no?
Yeah, I think it might. I think it is Chef's Table.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. I know it's on Netflix.
Okay. We'll check it out.
Lego Masters or whatever on Fox. Have you seen that? It's like Lego building competition.
I don't have cable.
There's so many things.
Anika and I have actually been on a Marvel movie binge the past week.
Nice.
It's great.
Yeah, starting, well, I guess tomorrow from when this airs, I will no longer be working from home. I have nothing going on. So I am going to, like, make myself a routine. Like, I mean, Paul, you pretty much have a routine, right? Like, you have your...
I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. Makes a big difference. Especially right now when there's no structure. It's good to impose structure.
Well, that's the thing. I had the whole no structure thing for like 3 months and then I was kind of going crazy.
Yeah, it drifts into a sad...
Sorry.
Towards the end of my like unemployedness, I was not doing very well. I was very upset all the time.
Everything is geared to get back to work. If all you got to do is miss a couple of days of work and watch daytime TV, and you can look at that shit and be like, we want you to be doing more than
society. You know, like those old, like, supermarket sweep and stuff, or The Price is Right, those would be fun things to go on. Those are game shows, though.
It would be fun. I know a bunch of people that have been on The Price is Right.
Really?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know several people who have won cars on The Price is Right.
Wow.
It's super common. If you go out and live in L.A., there's a whole method to it. Like, you go out there and you try to dress up as crazy as you can, and then the more excited you are when you show up, the more likely they are to pick you. They're trying to get people that are really, really pumped up.
Yeah.
And you can kind of hedge your bets. And I knew a girl who was taking an acting class in L.A. There was 10 people in the acting class. 3 of the people in the class were driving cars they had won on The Price is Right.
Get out of here. That's so funny.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's really, really way more common than you would think.
Ryan, you're in the wrong city.
I'm not crazy enough. Oh, yeah, Ryan, you can do
Ryan,
it.
Yeah, Ryan, you can do it.
All, dress up all wild and just go.
I'm not going to lie. I would probably just over bet every single goddamn thing. Like, I just want to I want to spin the wheel. That's all I want to do. I want to spin the wheel.
Just always do $1.
I'd be that person who, like, after everybody goes, I go like 1 cent higher.
Yeah.
And then I win, and then I'm that asshole.
Yeah, I hate those guys.
You win a trip to New York during the corona.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's funny that you said that? My first time in Europe, I was in middle school. Mm-hmm. It was one of those, like, a school-funded, like, little trip around. Like, we did, like, France, Germany, and Italy. Like, or not Italy, I'm sorry, London. So, like, Munich, Paris, and London was my, like, 10-day trip, my spring break, whatever. When we were in London, we were, like, by, like, a Dunkin' Donuts or something.
Yeah.
So we went in, and I think, I want to say it was around the time that, like, the Star Wars movies were re-released in theaters. Like, not the new ones, the classic ones were, like, re-released, like, 97 or so, I think is when I went.
Yeah.
And so they had, like, some kind of Star Wars campaign, and us American kids were like, oh, Dunkin' Donuts, great. We'll get some hot chocolate or something. And the contest, like, you know, like the peel off the cup or whatever, it was to win a trip to Cape Canaveral, Florida. And that's when I lived in West Palm. And I was like, are you kidding?
I can win a trip back? Yeah. That's great.
My friend was so mad. He was like, why do I want this? And I was like, it figures. That's where we went. We would find the contest to go back to Florida in London, England.
I always love that idea. It's like that. I was working on a sketch one time for just like a little cartoon illustration. And it was a person who was laying in bed and looking out their window. And there was a billboard outside the window. And it said, if you lived here, you'd be home by now. And it was always just that, just like looking at it every day. It's like, I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
But guys, I'm going to have to hop. I got to get back.
Yeah, I was going to say where we should probably wrap it up anyway. Do you want to tell people where they can find you?
I'm very easy to find. My name is spelled PaulOddo, and I am that on all things. And
I am Ryan JP Marco, MARKO.
What is JP's name?
John Paul, my middle name.
I didn't know that.
Yes, Ryan John Paul Marco.
I'm Paul Jack Joseph Odo.
Hey.
Couple of two-name, middle-name guys.
Hey, he's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks for having us on. This was fun.
Yeah, very much.
Thank you, guys. I will put, like, links to you on my description, I think. And if people would like to hear more of us, well, they can follow Paul on Scientology. And I'm sorry. Ryan just took a snapshot of Paul.
I didn't mean to.
I don't even know.
What I did.
I know. and I don't know. If you live in New York, I guess you can go stalk Ryan since we pretty much said where Ryan works.
Yes.
But not right now, though. So.
No, not right now.
Everybody has a very safe remainder of their pandemic.
Yes.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll talk again before this is over. We don't necessarily need to do it for the audio or anything, but
yeah.
Although I told you to download House Party so that we can on a group thing with Joe.
That sounds fun.
It will be. Thank you guys.
Yeah, thanks.
And then, like, once this is on, please, like, you know, share it and promote it and stuff.
Will do.
I will.
Okay.
Will do. All right, love you guys.
What was that? Good night. Okay. I love you guys too. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. Thank you again to Paul and Ryan for joining me and spending happy hour or so with me. That's what the name of this episode is, in case you missed it. So again, you can find Paul and Ryan on social media at Paul Odo, at Ryan JP Marco. Just look in the description of this episode for that information if you are too lazy to figure out how to type it. Please take a moment to make sure that you are subscribed on your preferred platform, and you can leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, which helps to get the word out about this podcast, and I would really appreciate it. You can find me on all the socials at Side B Radio on Twitter, Side B Radio on Facebook, and Side B Podcast on Instagram. So somebody had Side B Radio on Instagram, and so I never got that name. But anyway, doesn't matter. We're a podcast now. It's all good. Stay safe. Please don't do anything stupid. If you have any suggestions, if you want to be on the show, hit me up. Pretty open to it, because right now I don't really see the point in pursuing new people that I haven't talked to before or don't know yet. And I have interviews lined up for the future with some artists in New York City, and I just don't really see the point in having them on at the moment. So I'm trying to find older contacts or friends to have on and talk about life, I guess. So, yeah, let me know. And I hope you enjoyed this. Like I said, thank you very much. Have a great week. Have a great quarantine. I don't know. Don't do anything stupid, please. Take care.